Hey, uplifters. I want to take a minute to talk about something personal to me. In my 40s, I started noticing my hair was shedding more. So a couple of months ago, I started using Nutrafol. I'm already seeing so much less shedding. And my teenage daughter, who notices absolutely everything, keeps commenting on how thick my hair looks. As someone who's built my career around rigorous science, I super love that Nutrafol was the first brand to clinically study hair thinning on menopausal women, which is why I am so proud to have them as a sponsor. Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, supporting you throughout your life stages. You can see thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code UPLIFTERS. Welcome to the UPLIFTERS podcast, where every week I get to talk to brave women who are doing big things out in the world, despite having the same old fears and doubts and worries that the rest of us have. I've been waiting for this particular conversation for a really long time. And I mean, half of the reason I wanted to do a whole series on midlife wellness was because I wanted an excuse to talk to my friend Joanna Strober. She is one of the baddest ass babes I have ever known. We got to work together for many years, and I just admire her as a human, as a leader, as a founder. I love her voice and her way of being in the world. I love her honesty and her truth. And I promise you, as you listen to her, you're going to fall in love with her too, because she's just one of those people who speaks the truth and isn't afraid to communicate openly and honestly about what she sees. And we are extra, extra cute today because we're wearing matching shirts.
Exactly. Yay.
And they say menopause is hot. And it is. Joanna is the founder of Midi Health, the largest virtual care platform for women in perimenopause and menopause covered by insurance. I remember in the early days, as Joanna was founding this company, that was a huge piece of the puzzle to put together, which was, sure, we can provide help, but if women can't afford help, then what's the point? So as much as I want to talk about everything you're doing, I think that's going to be a big part of the courage story, because you had to detangle some really hairy stuff there. Anyway, let's get into it, Joanna. I'm so happy you're here. Tell us about how you even decided, with all the things, because you've, in your career, you've worked on weight loss, you've worked on children's wellness, you've worked on so many different health-related topics. When did you decide, oh, there's a big gap and a big need here, and I'm going to have to be the one to tackle it?
Yeah, you kind of have to be a little crazy, right?
I mean, good crazy.
Good crazy, exactly. Badass and crazy.
Exactly.
The really interesting thing about menopause is honestly how insidious it is. So perimenopause starts in your 30s or 40s, and it's really just the fluctuations of your hormones going up and down and all over the place. Honestly, that creates a lot of havoc in our bodies, and I experienced that firsthand. I was gaining weight. I had stopped sleeping. My kids joke, they remember me like, it would be a hot day and I would turn all the windows down in the car and go, it's so hot in here. They're like, it's not hot, Mom. Like, they actually were making fun of me the other night, my son, who's like, yeah, you used to take off your shirt at the table, like, because you couldn't get over how hot you were. And we're like, what's gone wrong with our mother? No one told me it was perimenopause. And honestly, just a few years ago, like, I joke now, menopause is like getting talked about. It wasn't getting talked about. My friends weren't talking about it. It wasn't a thing that people were talking about. So I really feel like I suffered. And I went to the doctor. At some point, I was given sleeping pills because I wasn't sleeping. But sleeping pills are addictive. So they said, you know, you can't take them very often. I tried actually marijuana, but that didn't work. I didn't sleep with that. The gummies just kind of made me dizzy. It didn't work. I was having a lot of anxiety, and it was not me. Like, I felt like I was no longer myself anymore. And no one ever told me this was perimenopause. Mm. And so when I finally found out that it was, and I got the right care, and I was given the right hormones and my whole life got better. I had this that sense of like anger that it took so long and on a lot of sadness that it took so long.
Right. All the signs were there.
All the signs. Yes.
You were a woman in midlife having a bunch of symptoms that could be attributed to this. But because no one was talking about it, your doctors weren't even surfacing this as a possible connection.
Well, also what they say is you're still having your period, so you're not in menopause. But peri can be 20 years before menopause. And they are, if you want, willing to prescribe birth control pills, but birth control pills are actually too strong. I don't know if you know, like birth control pills have 5x plus the amount of hormones as hormone replacement therapy. And that actually is too much for a lot of women. And for me, it was too much. So I couldn't take birth control pills. I didn't have a good reaction to them. It actually, hormone replacement therapy for women is much lower dose and better for hot flashes. So willing to prescribe the strong stuff that made me feel ill, not willing to prescribe the less strong stuff that would have helped my symptoms.
Right, because they weren't looking at your needs. They were looking at the needs of the person they were trained to support, which was a 20-year-old woman.
Yeah, that's right. And so, so that's, I mean, all those reasons are what went into like realizing this was just a big open thing that needed to be solved.
I really feel like you were the first person I heard talking about this pervasive topic now. And lucky me, I turned 50 this year and get to be 50 in a world where it feels like every celebrity and super smart woman I know is looking for ways to make this road a little easier for me. But what year was this?
We started in 2021.
That's like a minute ago.
Yeah, right. And when I first started posting on LinkedIn about menopause, people were like, oh my God, you're so brave.
I mean, like, you were though, in truth, because you might as well have said, I'm a convicted murderer. I mean, it was that infrequently discussed.
Arances put differently, I might as well have said, I'm old and don't hire me.
Yes, because better said.
That is the thing that people felt I was risking. And that is a real risk. So I'll tell you a crazy story. I was talking the other day to a recruiter and she was describing to me that she, a number of years ago, when she was early in her career, was interviewing a woman for a job. And she knew this woman was a kick-ass woman who had done really well in her job before. And they're sitting down at a table. She's interviewing her. And the woman is flushed and she's having sweats. And the recruiter, not knowing any better, thought she was nervous and didn't put her up for the job, didn't even introduce her to the company because she thought this woman who she had heard was so impressive looked too nervous. And so it just turned out, and she's actually caught up with her, she was having a hot flash. Like if she had known and if she had felt comfortable saying, I'm having a hot flash, that's why I am sweating right now. It has nothing to do with my capabilities. And she'd been able to say that to this recruiter, maybe the recruiter at least would have introduced her to the company for the job. She didn't even introduce her because she thought she was so nervous. So, you know, for me going out and saying, you know, thankfully I didn't need a job. I wasn't going to go get a job. So I was able to go out in the world and say, I'm having perimenopause and I'm having menopause and I am just as competent as I was before. Actually, now that I'm on hormones, I'm ultra competent. And so I think a lot of it is opening this conversation and saying this to women.
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm thinking back to my 17-year-old self who read this book called Queer in America by Michelangelo Signorelli. And I remember thinking this idea was so radical that a group could reclaim a word by using it. And of course, since I've watched many, many people do it, but that was my first exposure to that concept. And that is so much of what you and now other women have done to normalizing isn't even the right word, right? It is more of a reclaiming. And how different it is to say, whew, let me explain what this is, or just acknowledge what this is instead of feeling guilt and shame. And that's the root of this, so much of the suffering.
Let me just tell you, I'm having a hot flash.
Okay.
I'm having a hot flash. it'll go away. Yeah. And actually, I'm still just as great of a manager as I was before I had the hot flash.
Looky there. How many great leaders have been overlooked because of hot flashes?
Yeah, right. Doesn't that make you sad? It makes me angry and sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a client who is building a platform called Menopause and Money. And she's a financial advisor who's also an MD. And her entire premise is based on the fact that menopause is expensive and nobody is talking about the hidden cost of both all of the life stage changes that we go through, whether it's paying for your kids' college as you are, taking care of your elders, your own health, losing work, losing promotion, right? And so it's like the more awareness we have of how these things are impacting us, I think the more we can directly tackle them instead of just sort of getting overwhelmed and sitting back and saying, well, I'm screwed.
Yeah, exactly.
I have learned so much from you because you have been so willing to share what you're learning. And I definitely am one of the people who grew up in the story of hormones are bad. I grew up with that being the reason. My grandmother had cancer. That's what her doctors told her. Wow. And so that's what we all believed. She had breast cancer twice because she took some hormones. So to hear the fallacy around that really radically changed my mindset. And so I wondered if you would share a little of that research for others who maybe have been carrying around some huge misconceptions as I did.
So it's a complicated story. It's so much easier to scare people than it is to unscare them.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this study, the Women's Health Initiative, which studied a lot of women. They were mostly studying older women. So the bulk of the people were over 60. And they were actually looking to see if taking hormones would reduce cardiovascular disease. They initially thought that they had an outcome that said that women were getting more breast cancer. And so they made a huge announcement. And people remember reading this, even though it was more than 20 years ago. And all these doctors said, oh, stop hormones. The reality is that there's two really important things here. There's estrogen and there's progesterone, okay? The estrogen-only part of the study, women actually had a significantly lower risk of breast cancer. Lower risk of breast cancer. The progesterone was a progesterone that we don't use anymore. It was an old form of progesterone. And it may be that that could or could not have been related to the breast cancer issue. We don't use that anymore. We now know, and this is the study, if you look at these same women in the study, that women taking estrogen alone were actually at a lower risk of breast cancer. We also have zero data at all that there's any correlation at all between estrogen and breast cancer. None. So all these women, it is true, they think, I mean, a lot of women do get breast cancer, right? I have a BRCA gene in my family. Like, there's a lot of reasons why you get breast cancer. If you have breast cancer, an estrogen positive breast cancer, you should not take hormones. Mm-hmm. If you have an estrogen positive breast cancer, it could accelerate it, which is why we encourage women really strongly to get a mammogram every year to see how they're doing. But honestly, there is no correlation here. You will not increase your risk of breast cancer. I can't say it enough times and loud enough. And what's so hard is that women will say to me, oh, my mom had breast cancer, so I can't take hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll say, my aunt had breast cancer, so I can't take hormones. A whole lot of things like that, right? They're all wrong. Like, there is no correlation at all if your mom had breast cancer, whether you can take hormones. None. But it's just so much harder to explain that story and to unscare people. So, you know, one thing we did recently is we launched a supplement store.
Yeah, congrats. I saw that.
Yeah. And we did it because, you know, I've actually decided my job is not, if you don't want to take hormones, that's okay. Like, I don't need to be, I'm not trying to be a hormone pusher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to tell you, you should take
them. You're just a hormone believer because you.
I'm just a hormone believer. Yes. Exactly. Yes. I'm a strong hormone believer, but I want women to have all the options available to them. I don't want them to feel like they have to take this. If they would like to try a cortisol manager to sleep, let's get you the best cortisol manager to sleep, right? If you want to try other things for your brain health or your bone health, we'll get you other things. what I really want is women to know the data, to have the education, and then to have the choice what they want to do. And that's really what I'm focused on.
I love that. And it is making all of that accessible to women. So let's talk about the insurance piece of this, because for so long, I mean, even as you first launched Midi, I was like, oh, that sounds amazing, but it's not covered by insurance where I am. And I'm not going to, like, you hear about, right, these holistic specialists that are not covered by insurance. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I do not have the dispensable income to invest an extra $2,000 a month in my health. And so I think for you early on, that was like job number one, was to make sure that women could receive care.
Covered by insurance. Yes, that was job number one. Mm-hmm. So when I got my hormones initially, I paid $1,500 to this wonderful lady who was wonderful. I have nothing not great to say about her, and her knowledge was fantastic, and she got me on the right things. But my anger and sadness was that everyone doesn't have options like this, and that it shouldn't be something that's only accessible to women who can pay $1,500 to get that. You know, just the other day, I talked to a doctor in Beverly Hills, and, you know, it's $500 or $1,000 per visit. And I just thought, that's great. If people want to do that, it's great. I have no problem, but we're playing a different game. I, at Midi, we're taking care of some of the most highly regarded women in the world, quite honestly. We're also taking care of a lot of factory workers, and they all get the same care, and they all are able to pay for it with their insurance. And that just was a key component to me of what I wanted to build. So are there some downsides to it? Yes. Does it mean I can't spend an hour per patient? Yes. If you would like to have someone to spend an hour with you, then you will have to pay more for that, because we are an insurance covered model. So we only can, you know, we have to have visits that are shorter than that. So like there's some limitations on what we can do. If you want a blood test covered by insurance, you have to come to us first for a visit. I can't just order you a blood test covered by insurance. If you come to me, I can get you a blood test covered by insurance that does all the fancy things that other people's blood tests do covered by insurance, but you got to first come and have a visit with us. So, you know, I think from my vantage point, this is primary care. So the way that I think of it, and this is actually really important, is that perimenopause and menopause are essentially the bulk of women's primary care in this age category. When you don't need, we can send you to get a mammogram. We can send you to get a colonoscopy. When you are not in urgent care, we don't do urgent care. We don't do sinus infections, right? Like, but if for most of the things that women need a doctor for in, you know, between 30 and 60, we can do those things. And so the way we've done it is basically we've set up like a national primary care company with a focus on perimenopause and menopause. And that's how we were able to get insurance coverage.
That's brilliant. And because you are specializing in this area, you're able to do it with so much greater insight and understanding about this specific group of women 30 to 60.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So the chances of you overlooking menopause and or hormone shifts as a factor are basically zero. And one of the other things I learned from you is that I'm going to get this number wrong, but there's like a billion symptoms of perimenopause.
At least a billion. Exactly.
At least a billion.
Exactly. At least a billion.
And I had no idea what any of them were except for the famous ones, which were sleeplessness, brain fog, maybe period changes. I don't know. It was a very short list in my mind. And then I started paying attention to your work and I was like, oh, it's a very long list, especially this, like the tongue things. I don't know about this hot tongue. I'm like worried about that one.
Well, what about like itchy ears or vertigo? All of a sudden I noticed that I was getting some vertigo. I didn't know that was related to estrogen.
Interesting. Same. I have that. My grandmother had that. My mom has that. I did not know that until this exact second. Thank you, Joanna.
Yeah. Who knew?
Who knew?
So it's just all real. I mean, once you understand it, you can make sense of it, right? Like estrogen is all over our bodies. We have estrogen receptors in all parts of our body. And so as it fluctuates like this and then goes down, our body changes. And so I don't know. I mean, for me at least, I will say, like, I've come to think of estrogen like eyeglasses. Like, as your eyes get worse, you get glasses, right? I think the estrogen should be the same. Like, as the estrogen goes down, you should get more of it.
Yeah.
So I think that, yeah, it's a basic thing in your body that's changing, and we can help you with that.
I love that. So by definition, we know you weren't 20 when you started this company.
By definition.
Are you open to sharing how old you were when you started this company?
Yeah. Wow. How old was I? 53.
I love that. I grew up in a family where women were doing big, brave things in their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yay.
I love it. I'm like, oh, great. I just hit the halfway mark. And so I think these stories like yours of creating something new and building something remarkable in the second half of life are really important for all of us to hear. Now, I think you said I wasn't planning on going out and getting another job after your last gig, but was there a part of you that thought, oh, is it too late to start a whole new company at 53?
So when I say I wasn't thinking about getting a job, I'm just saying that I wasn't like scared of posting on LinkedIn about menopause because people go, oh, I can't hire her.
I didn't know if maybe you were like, I'm just an entrepreneur at heart and I am not going back into a corporation.
Well, that was probably true. We can talk about that. But also, honestly, I don't want to stop working. So what I love hearing when you talk about women, because what for me, it really was, okay, what am I going to do next? I need something that's exciting and challenging and intellectually stimulating. Because I know that for me personally, when I'm not intellectually stimulated, I drive my entire family quite crazy. I have a lot of excess energy that needs to be channeled in the right direction. So my family's much happier when I'm working.
Yeah. Yeah. Same, same. And so when you thought about building this, I'll tell you the story I made up about it.
Okay.
I made up the story that you said, ah, there's this need. There's an empty white space and I see an opportunity to build something here. And I can look back at my history and experience lived so far and see how this could be done better and differently than it's being done.
So I think that's pretty true. So my amazing co-founder, Sharon, and I have been friends for 20 something years. And we started talking about this over, you know, COVID when we were kind of potting together. And we got really into talking about hormones. And we got very excited by the hormone research and diving into it and understanding it. And it was probably 6 months plus of just talking about it and thinking, oh, what could we do with this? And then at some point, a light bulb went off that the COVID changes to insurance would enable us to start a company that would do this. So that was the
light. Why? Because of virtual care.
Yes, right. So what couldn't have done before COVID was you couldn't scale a national healthcare company. Before COVID, all healthcare was essentially local, right? So what we realized at some point was that COVID had changed the rules. Mm-hmm. And now you could take a practice like Dr. Mindy Goldman, who we started working with, and she's like a world-renowned expert in menopause. And we could say, here's Mindy. We want to scale her expertise nationally. Dr. Goldman, go get yourself licensed in all 50 states. And we are going to apply for you to get insurance contracts in all 50 states. So we're going to start just with you and two other people giving care to women nationally and start getting those insurance contracts. And then we said, Dr. Goldman, we're going to hire people under you. So you have to spend the next year writing protocols of all the things that are going in your brain. Write these enormous protocols, and then we'll be able to take those and train other people to do this care. So it actually, I've gotten very into the concept of manifesting. The science of manifesting, I've decided, is super interesting, and I've been reading a lot about it. And it's not the foo-foo manifesting.
I'm so glad we're talking about this because same. Okay.
Are you? I'm so into manifesting.
Girl,
so,
yes.
So important, right? So I could start to manifest and I could start to say, like, what would it look like if all women had access to really high quality care at home? Like, it's so great not to go to the doctor. You don't want to sit in a gown. You don't want to actually have your scale. You don't want to do all that, right? You just want to have the, what would that look like? And we kind of manifested this big story. And then we said, okay, what would it take, like step by step by step backwards in order to get there? And that was actually really helpful to me.
Wow. Yeah. Visualizing that solution. And what I hear you doing is, in essence, instead of having this massive problem, which is like a wall that we can't see through, you started to pick it apart into little details and started to see how you could build each of those details to create this whole new space.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, I love that so much. I'm literally standing in my manifested dream in this exact second. I will tell you on so many. So to my left is this vision board. I've become like vision board girl. Is this vision board where I put a picture of this room I'm standing 2 years ago. And I told my family, I want to know what happens if I live and work while looking at the water all day. And then the next summer we came and I was like, I think that's the house. And then it went on the market. And so there was no question. Do we buy it? Awesome. We were all like, my kids walked in and they had this weird sense of like, we're home and this is the life we've been asking for. And so it was no different, really. We got really clear about what the vision looked like. And so then we understood how to build it. It's not like the universe was like, here, let me deliver this. Oh, no, 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 no. We were very involved in this process.
Yeah.
And even talking to you, because I've just always imagined, when I think about Uplifters, I always think of you because your work embodies the work that we're doing in such wonderful, powerful ways. So, yeah. Manifesting. Well, manifesting.
Well, you know, the thing is, think about where we both were 5 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, when I met you, you were doing amazing work, but you'd been at the same place for how long?
Ever. Forever.
Sorry.
18 freaking years.
18. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And you were so well regarded and everyone thought you were the best at what you were doing. So I have to imagine it was hard to think about leaving when you're doing such a good job at what you are doing. But now you get to do so many other really cool things.
Now I get to do, literally, I'm like an inch away from only being in my space of genius all day.
Wow. That's amazing. That's wonderful.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's all by design. I love hearing that that's how this company was created, is by design, and really getting that clear vision, especially because you were creating it for yourself and the women that you love.
Yeah.
Was there anything about creating it that felt like just a huge block or barrier or just scared the crap out of you?
I'll tell you what still scares the crap out of me every day is we're providing medical care to almost 20,000 women a week right now.
That's insane, Joanna. That's so huge. Like, what an impact.
It's amazing. But honestly, I got to make sure every one of them gets good care. And I set up this email. I'm going to say it online, but I set up this email called frustrations@joinmidi.com. And people email me almost every day, right? Like, we don't get it all right. And the things that happen are hard. You know, NPs, they have children. Those kids get work. They call out. Then I have a whole day of patients who can't get seen. Then I don't have enough people under that insurance company in that state to get them in for another month. And so then they have to wait a month. And by the way, it's not just like I can get someone in that state because they have to be licensed in that state with that insurance company. So I get a message today. We've canceled on this woman twice. What a terrible thing we're doing, canceling on her twice. The technology goes down. The Athena Health, which is our EMR, will go down in the middle of a visit and someone is having a very important conversation and that breaks. Like, so a lot of what I'm actually spending my time doing is what we're trying to do is scale a national care clinic, and hasn't really been done before for good reason. It's really hard. And we are trying really hard, but that doesn't mean that things don't go wrong every day. And it's hard to kind of keep your equanimity. I'm really appreciative to the patients who reach out and say we make mistakes, because if I don't know that we make mistakes, I can't fix them. So I'm super appreciative to those patients who reach out and tell me this. On the other hand, we got to get better, and we just are trying to get better, but you know, things just go wrong all the time. And we got to just keep getting better at things. But that's the hardest thing about the job, is just kind of making sure that every day the operations go the way you want them to, even though so many things seem to go wrong.
Yeah, I love that answer for lots of reasons. One of the things I love about it is that you've created this email address. And I talk a lot on this show about creating courage capital. So we all understand if we want to do big, brave things, we have to raise financial capital. We have to fund it in some way. But what we don't talk about is the predecessor to that, which is the courage capital, which is the self-belief to do the thing.
Yeah.
And so much of where our lack of self-belief shows up is hiding from feedback and other inputs, right? We don't want to hear the bad news story because then we might feel bad about what we're doing. But you have sort of disarmed that again by saying, oh no, I want to hear it so that I can get better and stronger and more impactful. And so the people I see who are most successful are the people who are saying, okay, I'm going to internalize as much data as I can so that I can have the data I need in order to make the right decision for what I care about and weed through the problems again, which is what you've done from the very beginning, as opposed to hiding under the desk and hoping they resolve on their own.
Sometimes I feel like hiding under the desk.
I mean, understandable. And then you launch an email address that says, tell me what's wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The other thing I love about that answer is that it acknowledges that big, brave things aren't easy.
Yeah.
They are going to be messy and things will break. And we can move through those and come out with even greater impact.
I think one thing actually I will say I'm super appreciative of is I do think that people give us a lot of grace. I mean, I woke up this morning to someone, I've canceled on her 3 times. You know why I've canceled on her 3 times. She is in a state where it's really hard to get licensed with the insurance company. And so we don't have very many people licensed with that insurance company. So if 2 people get sick or they can't show up to work, it can take me months to get people back in again. And that's not on the patient. That's on me. Like, I want to like say that it's on me. And the insurance company will not move faster. And I have a whole list of trained people waiting to practice in her state when the insurance company will let them. But I can't make that happen. I can't go any faster there. But what I really appreciated, getting back to it, is that she said, you know, I know you guys are trying. This still sucks. Like, it's both, right? I know you're trying and this is a terrible patient experience. And I totally own that. And, you know, then we have to say, like, should we not practice in that state until the insurance company will put us in faster? Like, there are a bunch of interesting operational challenges that we're trying to work through. And I don't have all the answers to them, but we're a work in progress. The care is great. Our care is fantastic. I don't feel like we almost ever falter on that, if ever. It's really more the other operational things.
The stuff that's out of your control. And it speaks volumes about the scale of the need.
Right.
It's moving fast because there are so many people who need it.
Yeah.
So it's a high class problem, as they say.
Our demand is infinite. We have to make sure we satisfy it in the right way, but we are not limited by the lack of demand.
I love it. So you've done a lot of big, brave stuff in your life. What's the next thing that you're sort of mustering the courage capital to do?
So, you know, I think I'm going to be doing this for a long time. Getting back to manifesting, there really is a huge gap in primary care in this country. It's not just OBGYNs. Half of counties in the country don't have an OBGYN. But honestly, also the number of primary care doctors is decreasing rapidly. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to get into women's primary care as well as perimenopause and menopause care and be there for more women, just because the lack of care is so great that we need to train people to do more things. We need to train them on migraines. We need to train them on thyroid care. We need to train them on just bone health. There's so many things that women are lacking. And so we need to really understand what are the things they can't get in to see, and then how do we train providers to do those things?
I love that. I love that. Yeah. A woman we had on the show quite a while back, Sandy Sandberg, has been on a similar mission for psychedelics. She is a former nurse and an investor. She runs a fund, and they have just completed the nation's largest education platform for the psychedelic therapies for PTSD. And so, yeah, hitting that sort of root need makes a ton of sense and makes a huge impact. So as we wrap up, my 2 favorite questions. Number one, every guest on the Uplifters nominates another woman who is doing big, brave things to share her story here. So I know you have a massive network of inspiring women. Who would you nominate?
You should have Ellie Kaplan, who's the CEO of NeuroTrack, come in and talk about Alzheimer's prevention and the work that she's doing on Alzheimer's testing and prevention. She's amazing, and she's been doing this for a long time. And it's something that I care deeply about, and she does too. And I think you'd enjoy that conversation.
I would definitely enjoy that conversation. Thank you. And last question, as uplifters, we love to lift other uplifters. So how can we engage with and support you and Midi and the broader mission of women's wellness?
Yeah. So, you know, getting back to the hormone question, you know, this is all about education, right? Like my mission is to educate women on their options. It is to empower them to understand what medications, what supplements, what hormones, should they be taking testosterone? Should they be taking fiber? Like, what are the things? And I think if I educate you, then I want you to have control over your own health. Mm-hmm. And that is a lot of what this comes down to. No more gatekeepers. I want our providers to say, you know, we are here to enable you to get the life that you want. And so that's a lot. What I think about is kind of spreading that word of, also, this is science. Like, there is real science. There's a lot of hokum out there, but you should try to find the science, which is really important. But my mission is just to women, really to ensure that women get great care. And that's really where I'm focused. And you can get that by getting education and then getting access to the right providers.
Thank you for being a model of seeing problems and taking action, despite resistance, despite challenges that might be a lot easier to sit at home and, I don't know, maybe go work for a company and just be a smart person on the team. But you decided to tackle the problem that we was tackling. And I really, really appreciate that. I'm grateful to know you and to get to watch your work in the world and to grow up in this time.
Exactly. Yay.
Menopause is hot.
It is. Who knew?
Who knew? Thank you for listening to the Uplifters podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the uplifters in your life and then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more uplifters and it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Water sunshine with rosemary and thyme, dwelling up perplexing though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover, relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime, dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight, lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa. Lift you up, whoa.
Mommy, stop crying. You're disturbing the peace.